Coming up on this episode of Nintendo Cartridge Society, don't talk to me or my two golden sons ever again. It's dangerous to go alone, so the Nintendo Cartridge Society goes with you. Welcome to Nintendo Cartridge Society. My name is Patrick Ellers, and I'm joined, as I'm always joined, by my co-host, Mark Mitchell. We've got a good show for you today. We're going to be talking about the news from the week, including Nintendo looking for more partners to fill out their software lineup for Switch 2. And then on Thursday, we are concluding our ABCs of Nintendo DS by doing N through Z. But Mark, in the meantime, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Yeah?
I've been really enjoying talking about the Nintendo DS. It made me realize how much I really love that system.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that first episode, really fun. I think second episode, also going to be fun.
Yeah.
Mark, now look, you and I live in Los Angeles.
It's true.
And we don't do a weather report anymore.
No.
But it is, look, it's chilly here. I understand the whole country's going through a like polar vortex of sorts. But, like, it is noticeably colder here than it usually is.
Yeah, it is cold in L.A.
To the point where, like, I'm wearing a scarf inside. Not right now. I'm comfy right now. But when I'm in my office, it's chilly in there.
Uh-huh.
But it makes me feel so foolish when I look and see, like, how things are going in, like, my hometown of Chicago.
Oh, no, you know, it's so Kenosha, true.
Or Chicago, where I lived for a time. And being like, oh, it's negative 12 degrees there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cold in LA, but like a relative cold.
Yeah, it's cold in LA, but like I don't need long underwear.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or even really a hat.
Or I thought you were going to say underwear at all.
No, I do need that. I don't think I wear one. Mark, do you wear underwear for warmth?
Do I wear underwear for warmth?
And think carefully before you answer.
Well, I've never thought about it before. So I'm going to say no then. I must not wear underwear for warmth, right? Because I've never had to consider it.
I mean, we wear underwear so that our pants last longer, right? You don't have to change your pants every day.
You know, I've never really challenged.
It's a butt shield. That's all it is.
No, no, no. You're right. I've never. Okay. So this was during the summer. I was sitting in the airport.
Yeah, good.
And, you know, like during the summer, people aren't wearing that much clothing.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
It's like a tank top.
Shorts.
And you're looking around at the airport and I'm like, clothes are so funny because it's this thin,
yeah,
tiny piece of, yeah, fabric,
yeah,
between,
but you
like
need it,
my body, uh-huh, and you seeing my body,
right?
And yet we're all like, yeah, this is doing the trick.
Yeah, but okay, but you're also you're not like going into space. You don't need like a protective suit.
No, I'm not saying people, I'm not arguing for more or less clothing.
Right, right.
I'm merely saying clothing, when you really think about it,
yeah,
is a pretty funny construct.
Okay, sure. Your objection was that we're just trying to like use clothing to, so people can't see our bodies?
Yeah.
Okay, so we should all just be wearing like cloaks.
I mean, if that's really the goal, let's just be straightforward. We should all be wearing cloaks.
If you would like to help us hide our bodies with cloaks, you can go to patreon.com/Nintendo Cartridge Society, where we have a Patreon. And if you would like to support us at the 8-bit or 16-bit levels, you can get access to our once-a-month episodes of miniseries. Mark, we are currently about to embark on NCS Arcade, where we will be talking about
games that Patrick... neither Patrick or I have ever beaten.
That's right.
That are available on the Nintendo Switch Online or Nintendo Switch Online Plus Expansion Pack. And
I got to say, I think we're going to be leaning pretty heavily into the Plus Expansion Pack.
I think it's possible.
Yeah.
But the first game we're going to be talking about is The Legend of Zelda, The Minish Cap, which I've been playing and am really excited to talk about because this is a game that I've heard really good things about for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And my previous attempts to get into it have been unsuccessful.
All right, Mark, I gotta stop you. We can't talk about it here.
You're right. But
don't talk about it.
But
here's
one thing you can do.
I do this in our private lives too when he's trying to tell me about the game.
Yeah, here's one thing you can do.
Yep.
If you are a member of the Patreon and you want to be in on this discussion, is you can email us your thoughts, feelings,
impressions
of The Legend of Zelda the Minish Cap,
or just little ephemera that you think we may not be aware of around
Minish Cap. Because we want to include those in our discussion of the game. So
email us at nintendocartridgesociety @gmail.com. The Discord is a great place to have conversations about Minish Cap and the show in general. But if you want to actually like send in stuff that we can talk about on the show, please send us an email. Speaking of both email and the Discord, this is a two birds, one stone kind of thing. You can get in the Discord if you would like by emailing us at nintendocartridgesociety @gmail.com. And we will send you an invitation to talk about Nintendo stuff basically all the time. All right, Mark, are you ready to get into what we've been playing this week?
Let's do it.
So regrettably, I've not played a single video game this
week.
You're
a busy boy.
I'm a busy boy. You know, again, I forgot to plug my Turtles book in the first segment. I'm on a hyper crunch right now for the second issue of my Ninja Turtles book. So I am too busy to play games this week. But yes, the first issue of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles source book coming out February 21st, pre-ordered at your local comic book store today. But Mark, what have you been playing?
I have been playing The Legend of Zelda The Minish Cap,
mm-hmm.
which we'll be talking about later this month.
And I will not let you say another word about it.
No. But I also played the demo for Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown, which comes out later this week. And reviews started dropping last week, have been really positive.
Glowing, you might say.
I had been interested in this because there have been Prince of Persia games in the past that I really enjoyed. I liked Sands of Time on the GameCube. And then I liked the 2008 just like Prince of Persia that I kind of like flew under the radar, just what wrong game at the wrong time type thing. Mm-hmm. And so with the positive reviews, I was really interested to check out The Lost Crown. It's not a very long demo. It took me about an hour. But from what I played of it, it's like really Metroidvania-y.
Yeah, that's consistent with what I've been reading / hearing about it,
which is exciting. I don't know, when I was playing it, they're not the same game, but it reminded me of playing like Metroid Dread, where I'm like, oh yeah, like a really well-made one of these. One thing that they added that I think is really cool as somebody who hates being lost in games is there is an item that you get that allows you to take photos, and like it's basically hey, take a screenshot of this area, and then on your map you like see where this the screenshot was taken, and you can see the screenshot. It's a great way for like, there were so many times in Metroid Dread where I was like, ooh, I would love to come
back.
And get this, but there's no way I'm going to remember where this is or how to get back to
it.
And so this alleviates that. The other thing that's cool about it is that it's not endless. There's like, it's like in-game item, basically. Like, you can earn more of them, but it's not like you can just like infinitely take screenshots everywhere, which is a really good balance of adding that sort of feature and then also like limiting it. But
yeah, that kind of thing does definitely have to be like limited. Like I think a lot about how when I first played Metroid Prime, I did so in the context of I played it and Echoes back to back.
Echoes
is the second one.
Oh, you played it back to back.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And I played them on my Wii, like the GameCube versions of them on my Wii. That year that I was working as a hall director, and so just had like endless time, and like our sort of running joke with the people who would like come in and like watch me play the game, was that like as soon as we find the space jump, as soon as we find the super missile, as soon as we find the grapple beam, the whole game will open up. That was the language. Whole game will open up. And then as soon as we found those things, we're always like, okay, but where? How does this open everything up? And it's nice to just have like a couple little like ping points of being like, yes, go here. Like I high jump boots. Great. Now I can access that thing way up there or whatever.
Yeah, totally. It looks really good. It runs well. Mechanically, it seems fun. I hope that it does well. It would be interesting if this becomes like a, I don't know, like more 2D Metroid Dread kind of felt like a unicorn in a little bit of way, not just because it was a new Metroid game, but because it was a like a big budget.
Yeah.
You know, like it was an event.
Right.
Metroidvania.
Because there are other Metroidvania games, but they are decidedly on the indie side of the spectrum as far as like game development is concerned. And yeah, it is neat to see like another big developer putting out something like this.
Exactly. So I wishlisted it. There's other stuff that's coming out this week that I'm like going to pick up and play. But probably when it drops in price, I'm definitely interested in checking out The Lost Crown.
It's going for 50 right
now.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's not as expensive as a full price game, and you know, the kind of gulf there is bigger if you're playing it on platforms that aren't the Switch. But just a good thing to keep in mind. All right. Well, that's what we've been playing this week. Let's get into the new releases and what we might be playing next week. We're back, right?
Yeah, we actually have new releases to talk about.
We got new releases to talk about. We've got surprises to talk about. We've got Amiibo to talk about. Let's talk about some new releases.
All right, so tomorrow, Wednesday, January 17th, on the Nintendo Switch Online Plus Expansion Pack, Golden Sun and Golden Sun The Lost Age are being released for the Game Boy Advance Nintendo Switch Online.
Plus expansion pack.
Yes.
So, great news. Golden Sun was on the list of games that we knew were going to come out.
Just the first one, right?
Just
or do we
first,
know that?
No,
okay.
Just the first one. The second one here is a total surprise. And it's one of those things where, like, I've been, like, looking at the GBA lineup and being like, boy, there sure are a lot of games where there is sort of like a sister game that was also released on the GBA that isn't included on the lineup, right? Like we got Metroid Fusion pretty early. Zero Mission is sort of like the perfect counterbalance to that. And also, what a game. And then with Fire Emblem being on there, Fire Emblem The Sacred Stones is another one where it's like, it's the other Fire Emblem game. And Golden Sun was one of them where I was like, why are they just putting out one of these games when they have like a perfect pair in all these separate cases? And the answer to the mystery is they are just putting both of these out.
I've never played Golden Sun before. Like,
okay.
Either of these. I know them mostly by reputation, which is that I would say there's a small but strong and dedicated fan base. And almost like the novelty factor, like they were developed by Camelot.
Yes.
Who is more famously known as like the developer of so many of Nintendo's, of like the Mario sports games. But this was them working on a traditional RPG. And there's a DS one of these as well.
There
is
a
right?
DS one of these. But before we move off the GBA ones, they were originally intended to be a single Nintendo 64 game. Like, that's part of their development.
I had no idea.
That it was going to be like a big epic RPG. And they like ran out of money in developing it. And so they like took as many of the assets as they could and dumped it into a GBA game, which is so much easier to develop for, but had to like lop off half the story. It was supposed to be this like dual protagonist story. And so that's sort of what Golden Age and Golden Age, Golden Sun and Golden Sun, The Lost Age, like add up to be the one Golden Sun game from these two different character perspectives. Which is also how they were able to release one after the other. The distance between them is like 10 months or something like that. It's less than a year. It's a neat little thing, and like it's weirdly the same trajectory as Earthbound 2 / Mother 3 that was originally being developed as a Nintendo 64 game. The budget got too unwieldy, had to be like pared down to a GBA game, and then obviously we never got it here. But yeah, just it's that kind of thing that makes me go like, man, I get bummed out knowing that Nintendo doesn't have that like life raft of like, did your game get too expensive and like you lost control right. of the budget and scope? Just turn it into a Game Boy game. And now they just don't have that.
Yeah. Which, I mean, we've talked about before. It's from my perspective as, you know, like an enthusiast, it feels like there's still room for that the Switch, where especially, you know, they play around with the price scale on things. You know, not everything is like a $60 game. So it feels like to me that there would still be room for like $40 releases that are.
Yeah, but I don't like. Is there like a $40 Zelda game? That's like, is there like a new $40 Zelda game? Is that a thing that could exist?
Right. And does like the, because within, you know, like indie games, there's a lot of games that like, you know, take that, we'll say like GBA style. But, absolutely, yeah. You know, like that's also a tricky balance of, well, yeah, but those are considered like indie games. And if Nintendo's publishing these, like, is the audience still there? And I know right. that I'm an audience of one, and I think we'd be an audience of two. But is there enough of us, you know, right, to make that worthwhile? Right. I don't know. It feels like they could get away with it, but maybe they just also don't have like the development resources to do something like that anymore.
To loop back to your question about, or a statement about, there's also a DS Golden Sun game. You bet there is. I don't know the name of it, and I've never really heard anyone speak highly of it. I think it's sort of like the black sheep of the Golden Sun.
But that's cool.
Family.
But that's cool though. Then that both of these are being released, because it sounds like you kind of need to have both to have the full experience, or the intended experience.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first one is kind of a whole and complete experience by itself. I think they probably did a good job of like fleshing them both out to be like complete games. But yeah, it's the intention is that you play both of these things. Mark, just speaking generally about the Nintendo Switch Online Plus expansion pack, with the release of these two games on Wednesday, we have but one game unaccounted for.
Is it a Fire Emblem?
It is not a Fire Emblem. It's F-Zero Maximum Velocity.
Oh.
It's still listed on Nintendo's website as a game that is coming soon to the Nintendo Switch Online Plus expansion pack. And we are, you know, roughly a month out from when I think we can start to expect a new Nintendo Direct. So I would guess that we'll get this last one in, that we'll get F-Zero Maximum Velocity in February, right before the Direct, and the Direct will hopefully announce some new stuff.
Yeah, I feel like, and this is based on basically no information.
No information.
So this could totally be wrong.
Yeah.
But I feel like they haven't really announced buckets of things outside of the initial announcement. Like they're like, hey, here's, you know, a smattering of Nintendo 64 games. Here are some GBA games that we intend to release. And they don't all just pull through from those linearly. Like, there are always surprise. There have been surprises with those two.
Right.
And then I feel like once they exhaust those, my expectation is not they're going to be like, and here's the next wave of it. It'll just be a surprise, yeah, when they launch.
See, the thing that's interesting about that, though, is that, like, you know, back when they originally launched the service, not the expansion pack, but the original, they did it with the NES, and then roughly a year later, they were like, and now here's the Super NES, because it's right around the time where people have to renew the service. So last February is when GBA and Game Boy games came to the service, really like genuinely providing more and like novel value to the Nintendo Switch Online Plus expansion pack, which hasn't seen, like, in terms of the DLC that had, like, nothing new has been added to that in a long time, right? Since
Mario Kart 8 Deluxe Booster.
I guess that's true. That that has just finished up. But like, we are now a year out from the or we will be a year out from the last time they added libraries to the thing. So like, I think they may want to like position or make some sort of announcement that'll keep people subscribed to the expansion pack.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But I don't know if you have your like your NSO spreadsheet up.
Yeah, sure. But what do you need?
Well, I was just curious of like the timing of this, because does its announcement now line up with when we historically would expect new games to be announced for Nintendo Switch Online or for like GBA, or what does this do for our knowledge of
I don't think it does. We only have the 1 year of experience with the GBA library on NSO. But Nintendo 64, see, that's where it gets messy, because that launched in October of 21. So that was around for a year and a half before they launched the GBA libraries, or GBA and Game Boy library. So like, you know, as is always the case with Nintendo, like, you look far enough into the past and like it's gonna fool you,
right?
So I don't think there's any real like tangible information here, other than to say that like announcements and releases have slowed down. You know, we got three Nintendo 64 games in December. We're getting these two GBA games in January, but prior to that, you know, we had like a small tranche of NES and Game Boy games at the end of October, and of course Mario Party 3 at the end of October. But yeah, before that it was just a sort of like quarterly release of NES and Game Boy games. So all of which is to say is like I don't know.
Yeah, fair enough.
But so I do find if we are a month away from F-Zero Maximum Velocity coming out and sort of like ending what we know of this round of GBA stuff, it means that we're like, that's more evidence of like the end of something, the end of a cycle. We got something a little bit further down the list here that I think is evidence of the end of another cycle. But let's keep going through the new releases.
Okay. And then on Thursday, January 18th, Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown is released. And then on Friday, January 19th, another code, Recollection, is
very
released.
Excited about this.
I'm excited about this too. I bought another set of those Nintendo
vouchers,
Switch Online vouchers. And one of the games I used it for was this. And
very exciting.
And then also on Friday, the Noah and Mio Xenoblade Chronicles series amiibo are released.
So a couple things on this. Obviously, I'm also going to be getting another code Recollection because I'm buying every product that Nintendo puts out this year. And also, I think I have to specify, I mean game related. Mario Legos, I'm not buying that.
Oh, yeah, right, that's right. Fair. Uh-huh.
But okay, this Noah and Mio amiibo set. It's a two-pack. It's like $40. And I've been trying to pre-order it, but you know, sometimes the greatest, hardest, most difficult game of all is ordering Nintendo products before they come out. And so two things. One, I was camping out on Best Buy's website, like the pre-order page for it today, because they would go live and then sell out kind of quicker than most tracking sites are able to like ping you up for it. And I just noticed that Best Buy still has amiibo listed under Toys to Life.
Oh, what a time to be alive.
Which like is so weird to consider that like at the time when Toys to Life was a thing and like that Spyro Skylanders was really big and like Lego Dimensions.
Oh, right,
and
the
Disney
one?
Infinity, yeah. All of that stuff, those were much more true to the idea of like Toys to Life, where like you put the toy in and only then did you get to play as that character. And the amiibo are really like, they're cool little figures that like, yeah, you can scan in like something extra, but it's almost never that to play a character, you need to have that specific toy. So they really weren't the Toys to Life model, but they're the only ones that are still around.
Yeah, how did they? This is another thing I'm basing on no information. Did they like predate the Toys to Life craze.
No,
Skylander existed before like Amiibo existed.
Right, yeah, because I remember the sort of like headlines coming out of the Amiibo announcement being like, Nintendo gets into toys to life. Like it was already like an established genre of product.
And Amiibo buried them all.
Yeah, by barely doing it. Like it's like the classic Nintendo thing of like, I don't know, it's like it has fewer features, but like it's Mario, so I don't know, what do you want? You'll right. love it anyway. So okay, A, that is one thing. B, this Noah and Mio Amiibo are coming out the same day as another Code Recollection. Two Nintendo products being released on the same day. One is an Amiibo, the other is a game. They are not related in any way. Mark, the next time there's a major Nintendo release is also the next time there is a Amiibo release. Both Mario vs. Donkey Kong and the Sora Amiibo are releasing on February 16th.
Weird.
So, and like, I was like trying to just like puzzle out like, why is this? And is it like a logistical thing that like if they're shipping one product, they may as well ship two?
That was my first thought.
Yeah.
Is that it's maybe something boring like shipping logistics. It's cheaper to do it this way.
Right. Except like there's no way those things are coming from the same place, right? Like the same factory that's making an Amiibo is not the same factory that's like printing a Mario versus Donkey Kong.
Right.
Anyway, February 16th, that lands squarely in the same ballpark as when I'm predicting F-Zero Maximum Velocity. We're hitting a bunch of ends of cycles here, right? It's another like game that they're putting out with an Amiibo on the same day. It concludes the Smash Brothers Amiibo set. It's also the last Amiibo
that's what I was wondering. Yes. It's just like the last one we know about.
It's
now,
the last
right?
one we know about. Yeah. You know, every time that we've like crept up to that, I'm like, oh no, there's like some Monster Hunter Amiibo or something that like I'm not aware of. I went and looked today. This is it. So we are at the end of Smash. We're at the end of Amiibo. Maybe we're at the end of the GBA library that was announced a year ago. We are nearing the end of things, and I don't necessarily think that's like the end of the Switch. Even with rumors of the next generation hardware, are around the corner. Nothing has been updated really, as far as I can tell there. But it's just neat to see these like kind of cycles like coming to a close. And it makes me all the more excited for whatever we're going to see in an inevitable February Direct.
Yeah, that is interesting. Like it is the end. Well, maybe not the end, but it does feel like a lot of things are coming to a close. Like Amiibo have to be around for a decade now,
more than
a decade. That for a lot of people is probably the majority of the time they've been playing games. Like Amiibo have just been a part of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think it will feel strange when Amiibo are done.
I think that will feel strange as well. And I don't necessarily believe that we will never see Amiibo again. But like, I don't know, maybe we don't. Like,
yeah.
Does the next generation Switch have the
NFC
near field reader? Does it?
Like,
yeah. we don't know.
Yeah, crazy.
I have yet to secure a pre-order for this thing.
I was going to ask, and I think as far as Miyamoto's concerned, it's your thought that counts. That you're trying. I think that's what's important.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, so I'm hoping that like on release day I can snatch one.
Oh,
right?
Sure.
Like, it's just the pre-orders that have sold out. I don't know if that means that they'll have stock anywhere, but like, I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to see what I can do. But if I can't, again, these are Xenoblade Chronicles 3 characters. I don't know. I'm assuming I'm saying their names right. Cause one of them is Noah. Right. But yeah, who knows?
Yeah. I think the fact that you were willing to spend the money is like, that's really all, you know, like if the product's not available, it's not available.
Yes, that is a good point, and not something that I took into consideration when I set this goal. Like my point in saying I was going to buy everything was just being like, I'm just going to get everything that I can, and so not being able to pre-order it falls under the you can't get it.
Yeah.
But I'm still trying. If anyone sees a pre-order go live and can communicate it to me fast enough on Discord, please do. I don't know what these guys are, but I want them. All right. All right, Mark, let's get out of the new releases. Which brings us to a regular segment on our show. It is time for 433. In 1952, American composer John Cage wrote a piece called 433, wherein a performer or a group of performers didn't play their instruments for 4 minutes and 33 seconds. For the purposes of this show, our instruments are talking about Nintendo. So for the duration of one performance of 433, Mark and I will talk about something not at all Nintendo related, thus fulfilling the contract of the piece. Mark, I went to a bar this weekend, called Mr. Furley's. It's a bar in Glendale. It is a, like a pool hall kind of place. There are pool tables everywhere, billiard tables. Sat down at the bar, was looking at the menu, didn't have any kind of impression or prior knowledge about this place. And I see that one of the, cocktails is called a rum and knock on my door. And I was like, oh, that's weird. It's a Three's Company reference. Then I started looking at the rest of the cocktails, and they're all Three's Company references. I was like, hold on a minute. Is Mr. Furley a character from Three's Company? And yeah, it's Don Knotts' character. It's the landlord.
I'm imagining the scenario where you're like, wait a second.
Yeah.
And then you start turning around, and everywhere you look are Three's Company's references you didn't recognize before.
Yeah. I mean, it was like A Beautiful Mind, right? Where I could see like Chrissy's face floating by. It's the kind of thing that, like, if you didn't know and you weren't like obsessively reading the menu because you were like, trying to come up with things to talk to people about, that you wouldn't notice. So it's sort of like a stealth theme bar. Do they play pool on Three's Company? I don't know.
I don't know. I've actually never seen an episode of Three's Company.
I've never seen a whole episode either.
Yeah. Like I'm familiar with it because
from the culture,
I guess.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It being in syndication all the time when I was a kid.
But I was thinking a fun game would be to come up with our own bars, our own TV, like classic sitcom themed bars.
Uh-huh.
And then we can come up with a couple of like fun theme drinks for it. And also like the drinks were just like regular cocktails, but with names like Chrissy's Little Secret, you know, or stuff like that. So
yeah.
We don't have to like invent some new drink. We just need like names of things.
Okay.
And I'll give you an example that I played this game at the bar, and Sarah came up with one where she would do a bar themed after Happy Days, right? And so like you could have a drink called like Sit On It, right?
I've also never seen Happy Days. What's
like what they say to each other. That's like
okay, sure. So's your old man.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And I suggested that you would need to have a jukebox that you start by hitting it.
For sure. Absolutely.
And actually have your office in the bathroom. So let's pick a sitcom and let's figure out what that bar would be.
Yeah. A sitcom, is it a sitcom that I watched a lot growing up was there, one in the early 90s called Dinosaur. Where they were big, or dinosaurs.
It's dinosaurs,
where
yeah.
They were like,
the Henson Company.
Yeah, yeah, like big puppet dinosaurs.
The one that's a Simpsons ripoff.
Yeah, I guess it is.
I mean,
Simpsons
the family
ripoff.
Is like one for one. The baby has more personality than Maggie.
Uh-huh.
But, that's
and
great.
The kids are a little older.
The kids are a little older, uh-huh. That's right. But like their dad is basically Homer.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
And Fran is basically Marge. I know their names. okay, all right. So, I mean, this is because you can kind of just do like Flintstone jokes here, right?
That's true. I guess that's true. I don't know how to work this into a like cocktail name, but one part that I always thought was so funny as a kid is the name of the company the dad works for is the We Say So Corporation.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That could be like a. I was like close to like a whiskey say so.
Oh, that's good.
Whiskey say so could
yeah,
be.
Yeah, it's like a whiskey soda.
Yep, that's right.
Uh-huh.
Whiskey say soda. that's good. The family's name is there. So many of the dinosaurs have last names that have to do with like oil and oil companies. They're the Sinclairs.
I never made that connection before.
Friend is a Tyrannosaurus Rex named Roy Hess. they're all just future oil. Also, there's an episode where, because the baby never has a name, except for there's one episode where they take him to get a name, and the people on like the naming committee, one of the guys dies while naming him. So they temporarily named the baby Ugh, I'm dying, you idiot, Sinclair. We didn't play this game at all.
Can I ask you one thing? Because you mentioned that like Mr. Furley's was kind of like a stealth themed bar.
Yeah.
Do you prefer a stealth themed bar? Or do you prefer one that announces its intentions?
If it announces its intentions, I think it has to be like overt, right? Mm-hmm. Not just overt. It needs to be like a spectacular. It needs to be theme
like truly
park
like
level.
Themed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like Oga's Cantina. You betcha. I love that.
Right.
But like, I think I would. There's something about it being like just you know very casually like oh yeah I guess we're all in the Three's Company that is so like mysterious that I can't help but respect it. Well, what are your thoughts on that?
No, I think you're 100% right, because if it was like a themed Three's Company bar, then you'd expect like oh it's gonna have a sofa that's you know like
right Mr. Roper's gonna be there.
It's like themed an apartment type thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think you're right. I think like the subtlety, the fact that you were like, wait a second.
Hold on a minute.
Is pretty delightful.
If anyone wants to hop in the Discord and give us your ideas for a sitcom themed bar, feel free to do that. I had originally queued up pianist Kyle Shaw to perform 433 for us. But I restarted my computer and didn't refine that file, so we were company today by my phone. Okay, Mark, let's get into the news.
Last week, GameIndustry.biz posted an opinion piece by Christopher Dring, who's their head of games, B2B, like business-to-business reporter for the site, entitled, "How Can Nintendo Switch 2 Surpass Its Predecessor?" And it's, you know, like, it's an opinion piece, but notably in it, Dring talks about Nintendo looking for new partners as it works to increase development capacity. He writes, quote, "I also know that Nintendo is actively meeting with independent developers to find new partners. Some of that is around publishing indie games, which Nintendo does from time to time, but it's also seeking studios that could work on some of its IP. Nintendo regularly works with third-party teams, including Bandai Namco, Team Ninja, Platinum Games, Mercury Steam, WayForward, and Grezzo, but the company is looking to add to that roster, and I know of three studios that are deep in conversation around making games based on Nintendo brands."
Which is very cool, right? Like, we see this on the level that Dring is talking about here, but also, like, there was the whole thing with the Crypt of the Necrodancer guys making a Zelda game. A couple years ago, and it would be cool to see them sort of like fill out that roster with a variety of levels of, just like we were talking about before, where it's like, yeah, you'd love to see more of like that sort of scale explored. Could there be a $40 Zelda game? Like, yeah, if you know Drinkbox develops it or whatever,
right? Yeah, I do think it's really exciting. Like you said, we've seen them do these indie games, but I feel like there are the examples like Cadence of Hyrule, mm-hmm. which I feel like that is maybe the only one that we've seen like that, where it's like an
true.
Indie developer, you know, like trusted with like Nintendo properties, but really they're basing it off of their own game. And at the time, that seemed like such an exciting, like, potential path forward that we haven't really seen Nintendo execute.
Yeah, I think we did a whole episode of like what indie studios would we want to see make Nintendo games.
And so I think that's like really exciting. Nintendo does also just like occasionally publish outside developed indie games on the eShop.
Sure.
But I think like all.
Is that where games like Good Job and Stretchers come from?
Okay. Yeah. And then I feel like all. And then, you know, of course, there are these bigger collaborations like with Mercury Steam for Metroid, Grezzo for Zelda, and I feel like all three of these buckets are exciting possibilities.
Yeah, and I would like to see I would love to see more of all of that, you know, like there's just such a variety there, and like so much opportunity if Nintendo is partnering with, especially like you think about how where we are in the Switch's life cycle, like Nintendo usually starts to putter out towards the end of their generations. And even if we're looking at the beginning of this year as like a lot of re-releases and remakes and stuff, you know, and it's still only one game a month, but that's like one game a month. Like, you gotta think back to like the Nintendo 64 days when we had like two games a year. That's just not the world that we live in anymore. They can't release games that infrequently. And they've done a good job for the most part of like filling those gaps. But let's fill some more.
Right. Well, and one of the things that Dring writes about in his is in like the editorial is in whatever the next Nintendo hardware is, it won't have kind of those like, I'll call them easy Wii U ports,
yes,
that Nintendo leaned on in the early years of the Switch. It's been a few years since we've had a Wii U port, right?
Ooh, yeah. What is
the last one that we got? 3D World?
Super Mario 3D World? That would be my guess, yeah. And that's been out for, that was a 2022 game?
I think it was 2021. Let me just look
maybe
it up real
did
quick.
Did it come out like 4 months after the Super Mario 3D All Stars?
Yeah, because Bowser's Fury came out in February 2021.
Wow. Okay.
So you know, so like I so but
it's been out for 3 years.
Yeah, crazy, right?
What?
So yeah, I mean, I do think that it helped the Switch get its, you
totally,
know, like land,
yeah,
on its feet. Like, there's no question that Mario Kart 8 Deluxe,
mm-hmm,
is a gigantic game, and that having like Tropical Freeze and that sort of stuff to fill the pipeline was helpful. But it has been 3 years since we've had one of those, and I also think that we've seen them porting older game. I don't know. It's like,
yeah,
it to me, it doesn't feel so much of a concern, especially because
they are visiting different wells now, right? Like,
right.
We've got this this DS and Wii remake in the form of Another Code. We've got a GBA remake in the form of Mario vs. Donkey Kong. And we're going to have a 3DS remake in the form of Luigi's Mansion 2.
Right. And, I mean, all of this stuff, I'm guessing is more work than taking Tropical Freeze from the Wii U and putting it on
Convert
Switch.
File, too.
Right. Yeah, right. Exactly. But, you know, I guess my point is that with Nintendo continuing to like build out their development teams, plus if it's true that they're exploring these other partnerships, it seems that they're aware of the need to have a, you know, like a full pipeline. And so the
right.
fact that they don't have Wii U ports to lean on in the early years of whatever the next generation of Switch is, like, doesn't concern me for like their ability to keep content coming.
They always got to find a way to bring Star Fox Zero over.
That's right. That's right.
one of the few orphans on that system.
Yeah. Feels purposeful at this point.
Yeah. And is also correct. Like, that's the smart money.
But.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say Star Fox Guard, but that'd be hard to port as well.
Yeah. Because it's another. You need the screens. Yep,
yeah.
Yeah. I like this level of like not reporting industry analysis, this like opinion piece level thing. It just makes me think of, we didn't talk about it, but that the Sirkin Toto piece from last week or a week before, which is just like, I think Nintendo is going to put out the Switch this year. They could be this, it could be that. All this sort of like industry speculation where it's like, this is pointless. And yeah, we didn't talk about it on the show because I don't think there's much merit in talking about it. Just like we don't have it in the news here, but like the Game Shark thing for that, they're like planning to launch alongside the Nintendo Switch 2 in September. Of course, they didn't know when Switch 2 is coming out, but they just said it, got a lot of attention for it. But I mean, I also think that AI Shark thing is never even going to come out.
Right.
It doesn't make sense to me. I don't know who the market is for that. Boy, I just kind of spiraled out there. Christopher Dring, doing the Lord's work. Real analysis that we can use.
Kind of out of nowhere, last Thursday, Nintendo updated Super Smash Bros. Ultimate with a new Spirit event. I think it's been a few years since we've had a new one of these.
Although it's impossible to know, because I feel like there's stuff going
on in Smash.
It's
impossible for us to know for sure.
We don't know. That's true. Stuff goes on in Smash, and every now and then I'll turn it on and, like, play for a little while and have a good time, but, like, I think Smash is like a thriving community.
No, you're 100% right. Yeah. It's basically like we're looking at the like outside of an ant colony.
Yes.
You know, like the little hole in the sidewalk where they're coming in and out, and right. we're not seeing right. all the they're activity. Like,
these ants haven't updated this in years.
But there is a new Spirit event.
Okay, great.
And it's featuring characters from like newer entries in Nintendo series than were available when the game originally released. So you got characters from Tears of the Kingdom, from Splatoon 3, from Xenoblade Chronicles 3, and Pikmin 4. They're showing up in the Spirit Board for a limited time, and I really do mean limited, because it started last Thursday, and it's 5 days only.
5 days
That means
only.
You have until tomorrow, Wednesday, January 17th, at 1 a.m. Eastern, which means if you're on the West Coast, it's later tonight to check it out. So...
It's the whole spirit system, and they'll bring these back. Like, I feel like anytime they say the spirits are only available for a limited time, they come back. But the whole spirit thing is such a interesting way for them to update the game with not a ton of, like, extra legwork. They just have to, like, import some...
JPEGs.
Some JPEGs, and, like, you'd be like, yeah, I don't know, Mega Man is blue and he only throws the gear. Mega Man's always blue. Mega Man's orange and he always throws the gear, so that's how he's like this character. And it's like that's enough to be like a little hit of content, and then they can update it without having to like go through a whole thing of like making a character or a stage or whatever.
Yeah, I always liked the idea of the Spirit Board because, like we've talked about in the past, Super Smash Brothers Ultimate especially is like a museum of video game history.
Yes.
And there's only going to be a limited number of characters that can be presented as fighters or as trophies, and spirits were, to me, felt like such a cool way to be right. like, and then here's
and
all
the
these
rest.
Other characters
yes.
and they can make appearances and be part of the game even though they're not gonna be represented as full fighters. So I love the idea, and I think it's neat that they're like, hey, there's all these entries in Nintendo franchises that
yeah.
haven't been represented in this game because they came out afterwards. And I think you're right that they'll probably, hopefully, just become part of the regular Spirit Board rotation.
I think it also sort of retroactively justifies the decision to have spirits instead of trophies in this game, where like the trophies before were all like 3D models on like a little pedestal. That like you could rotate around, but like you probably didn't, right? Like maybe you gave everything a spin once when you got it, but probably not. And just like replace it with a single image means it's much easier to update, and you can just like get more of the gameplay content of that while still being able to see what these characters look like.
Yeah, and you can get weirder, right? Because the
you
stakes
get so
are
much
so
weirder.
Much
yeah.
lower. Yeah, so I think it's really fun. Also, I loved when we were talking about like spirits and spirits being here and spirits. It's like somebody accidentally tuned into a Medium podcast.
We could do that. NCS Ghost Club.
Yeah. We're like shaking the table with our knees. Awesome Games Done Quick, the twice yearly speedrunning marathon for charity, is happening right now. It runs all day, every day, through Saturday, January 20th at 9 p.m. Pacific time. It started over the weekend, so it's been going. But there are some Nintendo-focused highlights. Nintendo always features heavily in these, but mm-hmm. there's a lot of Nintendo stuff this year. I'm just going to run down a few of them. So the Gyromite with dog assistance.
Okay, now we did talk about this before.
Uh-huh.
We're like, a dog has speedrun Gyromite. At which point I was like, what are we talking about? And it is a trainer and his dog, and the trainer is like telling the dog which button to push when. Right?
I think that's right. Yeah.
And is the dog performing the Rob role?
I don't think so. I think that the dog is just like you would in the game, is like, actually, I don't know.
So is the dog playing with a Rob the robot?
Yeah, I don't know. That's
or
a good question.
Or is the human performing the role of Rob the robot?
Or is the dog like moving the discs? That seems unlikely. But the easiest way
you
for
don't have to move the discs. You can just like depress the button. That's all that the spinning discs do.
Uh-huh.
Is just like he places them on the B button and then the B button is depressed.
Right.
Right.
But what I'm saying is like, is the is the dog taking the place of Rob the robot?
Yes, this is my question as well.
Like,
yes.
In a Muppety way, like picking up the discs and putting it down. And I'm guessing the answer I'm guessing the answer is no. But the only way we'll know for sure is if we tune in this morning at 10:25 a.m. Pacific time. Because that, or watching the video on demand when it gets posted.
We could always do that.
But that, so that run is happening this morning. Also today at 11:15 a.m. Pacific time is Mario Kart Wii. Paper Mario, The Thousand Year Door is later tonight at 11:56 p.m. Pacific time. Then on Thursday, Kirby and the Amazing Mirror, three-player co-op. They're like beating it in like 20 minutes or something.
Cool.
On Thursday at 7:57 a.m. Pacific time.
It would be exciting just to watch anyone play that game who has any idea
how to get around completely. Super Mario Sunshine, Thursday at 10:50 a.m. Pacific time. Super Mario Brothers Wonder, which I'm excited to see speedrun, Friday at 1:40 p.m. Pacific time. And then Majora's Mask, Friday at 7:34 p.m. Pacific. Super Mario Brothers The Lost Levels is being speedrun on Saturday at 10:18 a.m. Pacific. Tears of the Kingdom, Saturday at 3:33 p.m. Pacific. And then Final Fantasy V Pixel Remaster seems to be closing it out on Saturday at 6:04 p.m. Pacific time. But you don't have to try to remember any of this. You can check out the entire schedule, stream it, and donate to the Prevent Cancer Foundation at gamesdonequick.com.
Very cool. I'm interested in this Tears of the Kingdom speedrun because unlike when Breath of the Wild was new, I've not seen like a ton of like, I don't really know what the, how you would propel yourself to the end game as fast as possible in Tears versus Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, I have not seen very many speedruns of it either. And so it's one that I'm excited to check out. I mean, I'm sure they've cracked it. But
yeah, I mean, I guess all you got to do is like dive down into the depths in the middle of the castle and like work your way down there, right?
Right. I think.
Yeah, I mean, but.
Or I guess you could because you would have, I guess, spoilers for the end of Tears of the Kingdom. You would just have to beat all of the, like, bosses, right? Because isn't that what you have to do if you didn't get the champions? They're
sages.
Sages, yeah.
Right. Well, the sages battle them for you. So yeah, you would have to fight them. But like, is there something preventing you from just diving into? I guess you would need the hang glider before going into the depths, and then it would be really tough to get around in there. I guess it's just like, you know, that final like approach to Ganon seems like it'd be, or Ganondorf seems like it'd be much harder than like the shortcuts to Calamity Ganon, where you just like, you know, launch yourself on a rock like into the tower where he is.
I bet they've got the strats for it.
Bet they got the strats. I'm just it's just interesting that I haven't seen like I feel like speedrunning Tears of the King or Breath of the Wild became like a regular thing that like everyone did or tried. And I just haven't seen those videos for Tears.
Yeah, I agree. VGC is reporting that after a slow start, Mario plus Rabbids Sparks of Hope, the sequel to Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle, has now sold nearly 3 million copies, which puts it in line with like where the original game was after like a year after its release.
Which pretty good.
Yeah, I think still like definitely better than like the bomb. It was the kind of the article saying like definitely better than the like after it was labeled as a bomb. It has, you know, slowly but surely picked up players. I think still a little bit of a disappointment in the sense that the like Switch install base is so much bigger. So to have it be like at the sales be equal at the same point in time is maybe a disappointment. But also remembering like following the game's release last year and its initial underperformance, Ubisoft's CEO was saying that, oh, we probably should have held off until the next Nintendo hardware instead of releasing two on the same system. But a respectable showing for a game that initially seemed like a disappointment.
Here are some notable first-party Nintendo games that have sold less than 3 million copies on the Nintendo Switch. New Pokemon Snap, a Pokemon game. ARMS, Xenoblade Chronicles 2, Pikmin 4. Mario Strikers, Mario Golf, Pikmin 3 Deluxe. So like there are Captain Toad's Treasure Tracker. It's it's not like embarrassing or bad company to be in.
Yeah.
But I guess if that is, if that falls short of their expectations, it falls short of their expectations.
I think also maybe the difference between those two is that they've been selling this at regular discounts, whereas, you know, yeah, like the, none of those Nintendo games have ever dropped in price.
No, that is true.
Finally, last weekend, Splatoon 3 held its 12th Splatfest, asking the question, who do you spend the holidays with? And the options were friends, family, and solo. Team Solo ended up crushing the competition with 57 points. Team Friends and Team Family scored 0 points when all was said and done. So a clean sweep for Team Solo.
Clean sweep for the Chewbaccas out there.
Yeah, let's get that movie a sequel now.
Okay, let's calm down. First, we got to see this Mandalorian and Grogu movie.
Yes.
And see if Star Wars can ever be in movie theaters ever again. What do you think happens if that movie bombs? Is Star Wars over?
Oh, Star Wars is an exclusively TV property, I think, for a while. If that, I say that as if it hasn't been for the past 5 years at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it puts its tail between its legs once again and sticks
goes
to
back
TV.
To Disney Plus.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that feels right. Does it surprise you that Team Solo, which is not about Star Wars, I guess, won the most recent Splatfest? I'm surprised by how lopsided the results are.
Yeah, the results are really lopsided. I don't have it written down, but at the halftime, either Friends or Family was leading by a hair. But Team Solo must have just crushed it in tricolor
turf war.
So
well, yet another Splatfest that you and I missed. All right, Mark, let's close out the news. That is going to do it for this episode of Nintendo Cartridge Society. Remember to join us on Thursday when we're going to be closing out our ABCs of the Nintendo DS. We're having a great time. You could have a great time with us. If you would like to be in our Discord having a great conversation, you can email us at NintendoCartridgeSociety@gmail.com. Anthony DeLuca made our logo. Our theme music is provided by 8BitBetty. You can get more of his music by going to 8BitBetty.com or by listening right now. For my co-host, Mark Mitchell, this is Patrick Eller saying thank you for listening.